home for classic hits. AM 1570, 96.9, and Boone 102.7 FM. WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi.
Did you know there are benefits to window tinting other than that cool and sleek look? Keeping your vehicle's interior protected is one of those benefits. Marchand's Window Tinting does top quality window tint installation that comes with a lifetime warranty. Located on State Road 39 in Antioch, Marchand's Window Tinting is professional and locally owned with years of expertise.
This is Alan Marchand at Marchand's Window Tinting, and we stick it where the sun shines.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
When it comes to keeping your car running right, trust the team that's got your back, Big O Tires. Located on State Road 39 in Lebanon, Big O does it all. Oil changes, alignments, tire rotations, brakes, and more. Whether you're prepping for a road trip or just tackling that overdue maintenance, the certified technicians at Big O Tires will get the job done right the first time. Check them out on Facebook for exclusive deals and updates. Next time your vehicle needs a little love, head over to Big O Tires in Lebanon and talk to manager Lauren and owner Alan. Big O Tires is the team you trust.
TC Trailers is starting the year big with over 400 quality trailers on the lot at prices that won't wreck your resolution to save money. Cargo trailers, haulers, utility trailers, dump trailers, goosenecks, big ones, small ones, and everything in between. And when life throws a pothole your way, TC Trailers has an in-house repair shop and a fully stocked parts store to keep you rolling. So make this year the year you pull smarter. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Visit tc-trailers.com.
Big deals. These days, we all want our money to go just a little bit further. We also want to support local businesses. When you visit the Big Deals online store, you can do both. Shop anytime. The store is always open and loaded with great deals. Buy discounted gift certificates to local businesses and spend them just like cash. Visit online or download the Big Deals app to shop right from your phone. Shop local, buy local with Big Deals.
Hey, we're back on Party Line Thursday morning here on 1570 WI. A little Journey, never hurt anybody. Well, that was a classic. I got some young guys in here now. They probably never even heard of Journey.
No, can we just let that play for a little while?
Yeah, that's a good song.
Until
I like
about 9:27,
yeah. 9:28. Evan and Brady, thank you guys. Officers here for the Frankfort Police Department. We appreciate you coming in today. And we appreciate our sponsors, by the way. Thank you very much for sponsoring Party Line, making it happen. HoosierlandTV.com and the Party Line sponsors really greatly appreciate. And Hoosierland, they do not just Party Line, but all the events in the community, including ball games that will be at Carroll tomorrow night, Clinton Prairie. It's a doubleheader with girls taking on the Gophers. The Cougars and the Gophers are going to be tipping it off tomorrow night. With the girls going first and the guys second in the doubleheader. All right. Well, let's start talking. We heard from the streets and the parks, and now we're talking. Well, the real streets. You guys got to make sure they're in order. So, Brady, I'll start with you. First of all, Happy New Year.
Hey, you too. Thanks.
The 2025. Looking back, anything? How long have you been on the force now?
13 years.
Wow, that long. My goodness. And you're still a little gray.
It's a little gray there.
In the beard.
That's from the chief.
Yeah, I can only imagine. But he's but I never see it in his hair. What's that about? It's always
beetroot. Beetroot powder. That's what he says, anyways.
Yeah, it's one dose of that beetroot powder in the morning. And cures all the ailments.
Hey, I will tell you, I drink beet juice about every day.
It's
so
real. It's a real thing, right?
It really does help. I'm telling you, it helps keeps my blood pressure in check, our blood sugar in check. So, and I don't mind it. I just put a couple of things of powder in it and stir it up with some cold water, and
that's the way to do it.
Take it down.
It's the ticket.
It is the ticket. So let's look back a little bit on 2025. Anything that major? I mean, there's been a lot of things going on. We've got drug bust and all that kind of thing. But what were some of the big things that were highlight in your minds?
Well, those are going to happen, right?
Yeah.
We have brought some things along with us just to highlight some of the training that we did. That's always something we talk about.
And you got at the end of the year. You got a great new place to do the training.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, the building's great. Yeah. And, you know, as far as other training facilities, we're improvising there for what we have. And some more things with partnership with EMA, with Renee now as the director. We're kind of getting a relationship there established to utilize them to help us with training needs, facilities, and just ways to get better. But this year, we were just shy of 4,000 training hours, so just a little under that for our department. That's going to average out to about 90, rounding up about 93 hours per officer on the force. And that's along with we do a lot of the training during on-duty time, rotating officers in and out. So it's a year long, you know, it's a process of the year to try to get that in. And you know, each officer is only required to have 24 hours a year.
Right.
That's according to the state standard to recertify every year or to keep your credentials. So we're well and above that, and that's our goal, and we always will be. Some of the things we've done we've done the Citizens Police Academy. We did that last year. Mm-hmm. I teach civilian response to active shooter events. Just wrapped up this year for the first one of 26. We did that last year with Brock Grain, all their employees. If anybody's interested in their business or church or wherever, it's just kind of an out-of-the-box civilian response guidelines on survivability.
Okay.
And it's just awareness. And the more people we can outreach with that, the better. You know, we're going to continue to push that out and never have an event, right? Yeah. That's the goal. So,
well, yeah. And you bring up a point though, too, that you never know what's going to happen. And it's almost anymore at any event. I mean, a parade or a church service. I mean, I'm a pastor, you know, we have, you know, some precautions that, you know, we've, you know, taken it. You hate to do it. I mean, you don't even want to think about it, but if you're not prepared, then you live in such a litigious world that if you're not prepared or you don't have a strategy, then okay, where have you been, you know, the last 5 years or whatever?
Yep. And looking through the year, you know, we staff all the parades, all the festivals, all the events,
which we greatly appreciate,
all the concerts. You know, we make sure those are staffed, and that's on our forefront. You know, we're not there to just be there or for any other reason, but you know, the community safety of everybody. And that's one of the things that we have a plan for. That's one of the things that we train for.
Yeah.
And we just want to make sure that, you know, our level of preparation meets the needs of, you know, of modern society.
Right, so. Right. Evan, you've been there. How long have you been there?
About 6 months.
6 months.
After Brady.
Yeah, I thought, I was going to say you had to add to that because you've been around there. So you guys been, what, 12 and 13 years, respectfully. What's changed? So it's when you first got on the force, Evan, I'll start with you.
I mean, I think it's more of just the, camaraderie really. And just the overall, I feel like the command structure has really grown to, we really look for feedback of from the youngest officer to everyone, want to be on the same page. To go back to the question about 2024 versus 2025, I think the biggest thing would have been our violent crime decrease of 38%. I know Chief's a big stats guy. I am as well. I think that's a huge thing.
Oh, yeah,
we rely on patrol stats really to gauge activity, where we need to go, different areas to hit. But I think the biggest thing is just everyone being on the same page at all times, or trying to be at least. I think that's the biggest.
Let me get out some clarification. What constitutes a violent crime? I mean, is it when? I mean, because sometimes people could say, "Well, speeding in somebody's." I mean, what is a violent crime?
So violent crime, there's only about four different four or five different categories through NIBRS, which we have to report to the federal government. But it's going to be your I'd have to look them up exactly what they are, because different things can be classified as others.
That's why I'm asking. Yeah,
You've got...
I don't know how you guys would keep it straight.
Yeah, it's... I mean, a lot of different things can be grouped into that. But just, I want to say it was, we only had a handful of violent crimes even occur.
Like a, would like a gun violation be something that would, or they have to actually utilize the gun?
Let me look that up.
That would be, because to me, violent would be putting yourself, you guys are going to be in danger or someone else in danger physically. And then again, you don't know what the intent. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, I know this whole, ICE situation with what's happened in Minnesota. You don't know the intent of somebody. That you got to read that on the fly, in the moment.
Yeah, you get it.
And that's what I don't, for me, when you guys kind of have that bad, not reputation, but that someone may... look at, well, they should have done this, or why didn't they shoot him in the foot, or why didn't they? I'm like, okay, really? We're not talking, this isn't the Lone Ranger, that.
Yeah, it would be a bad day to testify in court that you tried to use deadly force on somebody by shooting in the foot, and then they ended up, dying.
Yeah.
And you didn't mean to.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's a great point.
Deadly force is deadly force. Firing your weapon has to constitute, you have to be in a deadly force venue for that.
Right. So. And you don't always, go ahead, Evan. So, you've got some answers for me.
I've got the answers for you. Yeah. So it's either going to be murder, rape, robbery, and aggravated assault.
Okay.
So those are the four categories that are grouped in that we have to report to the federal government.
Good. So what's aggravated assault? So what causes, is that something that's predetermined, predetermined, or
so it'd be something that caused serious bodily injury
to someone
with a use of a knife or a firearm or a blunt object.
Okay,
that would be your category of aggravated assault.
So somebody maybe getting in a fist fight,
that could just be a simple assault.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, and I know you guys see it all, but when you're thinking about that every day, you get up. You never know what to expect. You guys put the uniform on, which we greatly appreciate. You made the commitment. You have made the vow to do that. And I think sometimes that is so sorely taken for granted, because we think, well, they're just sitting in the parking lot. They don't know. But at any given moment, there could be a scenario that the call comes. How, you guys have been there 12, 13 years. How are you training the new guys and the gals, how are you helping them? Because it's probably even a little bit different culture than when you were over a decade ago. The culture has shifted, because I think it's become more violent oriented. I mean, or just simply mean. We live in a culture that's just unkind. What say you? Brady, I'll start with you.
Sure. Yeah. So situational awareness, first and foremost, is going to be the backbone of what you're talking about. Mm. And that's one thing we do push, and they push for themselves too. It's 24 hours or 24/7 situational awareness. You have to be aware of your surroundings. You have to have, good gut feelings. And we look for that when we hire officers. That's some of the stuff we look at. Are they realistic about this job? Are they realistic about, being able to respond when things flip in a 180, because they flip in a hurry now.
Oh yeah.
And I think what you're describing is people are so quick to go to violence for an answer, not just with law enforcement, but with society.
Yeah.
We're seeing, somebody will honk their horn and it leads to a homicide.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. But that's a culture problem we have right now. We just have to respond to it. We have to adapt to it. And we find creative ways to do that. We try to create some stress in training, realistically, to a point. We can't recreate everything they could possibly see. That's difficult. But it comes down to traits, and we look for those traits, and we try to develop the traits as we go. You know, everything from when we're, you know, on a firearms range or we're doing other training or stops training or any of the other stuff, you know, counter assaults, counter ambush. I mean, it's a long list.
Right.
But we do visit that. But it does cause difficulty to recreate that to, you know, we have to be careful. You know, at the same time, we are servants of the community.
Yeah.
Right. We're not, you know, a platoon of Marines out here on your streets.
Right.
So we have to find a balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because you got to have a militaristic kind of mindset in a very stressful, violent situation, but you also have to have a mentality of, hey, how do we de-escalate this before it ever gets there?
That's one of the bigger trainings, you know, that we do is, you know, we push de-escalation. We've formed the crisis negotiation team. It's not just for tactical situations. It's for anybody in crisis. And we partner with healthy communities. We partner with our negotiations team. They receive a lot of training. So, you know, it's a whole community approach on how we're training and what's the trends, really. We got to look at the trends because they change fast.
Right.
And with technology, they're changing faster.
Well, and again, too, not to interrupt you, but the you know, the whole drug culture situation and what we've gone through. Now, we've been blessed because we've got a great recovery community. I think we've done some awesome things. Like you mentioned, healthy communities. There's been, you know, we have an NA group that meets at the chamber every Saturday morning. We have Brianna's Hope tonight. You know, there's a variety of folks that meet. They're helping with support, but it's still it's a nasty thing out there that people with addiction and stuff, and they do things that they don't even know they do. And alcohol does the same thing. All these different scenarios, these substances that can cause irrational behavior, and then you just have the mental struggle of that goes on. And you're saying that your guys are putting training and practice into place to help address those scenarios as they come up.
Yeah, and we have, I know Brady talked about our crisis negotiation team. We have six of us are on that team, but it doesn't just stop and end there necessarily. But yeah, we get called out for different SWAT call outs or anything like that. But like you just said, anyone that might be in psychosis or mentally impaired because of drugs, we can also assist with that. But I think it goes back to what Brady was talking about with de-escalation and just teaching these new officers empathy and sympathy and making sure that you have that to be able to go on the road. I know he touched on looking at characteristics of new hires. That's what we're looking for. We're really blessed here in Frankfort that we know that 98%, 99% of this community has our backs and knows that we're trying to really put the best foot forward in everything we do and everyone that backs us with healthy communities and Trinity and Brianna's Hope and all that. So we're really blessed on that aspect of it.
Yeah, like I said, we greatly appreciate it. It always does my heart good when I see. Hey, I have a you know, full disclosure. I now have a Ford Explorer, so I feel your pain now because it's amazing how many times I'm driving and all of a sudden people are putting their brakes on in front of me. Like, why are you braking? Well, they think I'm a police car.
It's hard to get anywhere on time.
It's amazing. I don't know. And it's a white one, and it, you know, you, so it kind of can blend in. And I, it's been a little bit different. So I kind of feel some of the way you guys may think and people flashing you or whatever. And anyway, so, but I think that, you know, getting back to the training, that's really the heart of what you guys do. I mean, you've got to, you mentioned, I love the word servant because I think service is the key. Protect and serve, enforce, protect and serve, but service is really the key. But when you, it's all the hours behind, you said 93 hours? Is that what said?
That's the average.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've got a full breakdown of every officer, but you know, with the 93.3 total hours, that averages out to 92.3. So we look at that as a good benchmark. You know, and last year that number was astronomically higher because we put several officers through the academy, which counts as their training hours, like 800 per officer by the time they get out of the academy. And they're getting all the training you're talking about. They're getting that baseline in the academy, and the academy's improved. They've now got the scenario-based training village. So they're shifting the paradigm at the academy to a lot of scenario-based trainings. These officers are getting exposure a basic level exposure of all that coming back, and then we apply that to how it fits each community. Wow. So,
I mean, that's awesome to think, and that's in Indiana. We're doing that right now.
That's in Plainfield. Yeah, they've done it. If you should look at all the improvements they're getting up there in national level academies. I think they're getting up to the top of the list. Yep. So.
Well, we're fortunate here, like not just in our community, but in Indiana. I think the state of Indiana. Joining us, Carl. Good morning, Carl.
Hey, good morning, everybody. My question is, I can't understand this day and age that we're living in. I went uptown there to that new building there on the corner across the street from me. What's that called, Jan?
Oh, the County Annex building?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And doggone it, they check you all out. You got to go through this thing. It scans your body, you know, to see if you got anything, you know. It's like the airports, you know. And if you go in the courthouse, of course, where I was in the courthouse, but it's shut down. They was remodeling, so I had to go across the street because they moved everything over there. But there they got the sheriffs in there, the deputies. They check you out. We got the police in these schools. Is the police in the grade schools too, Sam?
I'm going to let Brady or Evan. I think they are, aren't you guys?
We are, yeah. So we have...
You mean to tell me the day and age I live in, you got... I think that's all... You ever arrested anybody or done anything in a grade school with those little bitty kids? You ever done anything there?
You know, if there's any action needed as far as, you know, violations of the law or anything like that, that's why they're there, but they're there for the safety and security of that school.
Have you ever seen any of that stuff?
Well, I mean, if it happens, we see it.
You know, has it ever happened?
Well, you have to get a little more specific about what you're...
I can't believe that we have all these police officers and sheriff's deputies in all these buildings in Frankfort, Indiana, which is a Mayberry.
Well, I don't disagree with you that Frankfort is a charming and pretty quiet for the most part, but
yes,
but you know, there are situations. You know, I would say I coach football, out at Clinton Prairie, and there have been there's been situations where a domestic situation gets out of hand, or a fan, or somebody can get. You know, a little unruly, a parent, a teacher. I mean, it can be a variety of things. Students can get pretty unruly sometimes. So,
really?
Oh, yeah. I think what happens to, and I'm going to let these guys, I'm not speaking for them, but in my experience being within the schools, it's a blessing to kind of have that presence, because you just know, as a coach, it makes me feel better to know that there's somebody there that if something does get a little crazy, that, you know, say, hey, look, you know what, calm down. You know, if you know, we don't want to get the law enforcement involved, but, you know, hey, they're just right around the corner. You need to calm down. You need to take a chill pill.
And they got law enforcement at the football game, Shan?
Oh, yeah. Almost every game. Well, I think every basketball game, every football. You guys know it. Yeah. Frankfort games, aren't you? Yep. Pretty much.
Yep.
So, yeah, because, Carl, we're human beings, brother. I mean, the people...
Well, what's happened? What is it? The water we're drinking is making this crazy? What's going on?
Well, I think we talked, and that's what we were just talking about, is the culture. Wouldn't you guys agree it's the culture shift? And
100%,
and again, I don't know. Maybe we're not raising the kid. I don't know. The to me, it's about respect. I don't think that we have instilled enough respect in our culture, and we have a lot of disrespect going on, and that's been going on for a while, and I think we're seeing the unfortunate fruits of that.
I think the chief said it best. There's some people that need to dust off their Bibles and put their phones down.
Hey, well, I think there's a song there now. I believe there's a new song out that's talking about, you know, dusty Bibles and, you know, brand new iPhones.
Yep,
so,
that's a good song.
Yeah, it is a good song, real good song.
That's what they asked me, Sam, when I went in that building there on the corner there.
If you had a Bible? Go ahead.
You have to take your cell phone out of your pocket.
Yeah.
I said, I've never had a cell phone. Mine's on the walls. It's three longs and a short if you want to call me.
You know? I love it. That's right. The party line. The old party line. Hey, thank you. Yes. Man. That's a good, yes. Hey. Good reminder.
Hey, God bless all you people, and you're doing a good. I never seen nothing in this town in my life go wrong. And I've only lived here 75 years,
yeah.
But I've never seen nothing get out of hand. But
well, brother,
I must be at the wrong place at the wrong time.
No, I think you're in the right place. You just need to stay there and, you know, keep the glass full and praise the Lord. But I'm very grateful for our police force and how they,
yes,
they and,
yes.
And our sheriff's department, how they handle things in our community, our county, and our city, because you never know. And just, I think, Carl, just as we end this thing up, you know, sometimes just being there, being present is enough to deter. Uh-huh. You never know what somebody may be planning or plotting, but if you see, a police officer, you see law enforcement presence there, it might be just the thing that changed the dynamic. We don't know till we get to heaven the stuff that we can't measure, you know, because it didn't happen.
That is correct. That is correct. You'll never know till you get to heaven.
Amen.
Hey, God bless all you people. And have a wonderful weekend.
You as well, brother. Carl. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Carl. Carl, our favorite fan. Yes. Great
yeah.
guy.
Yes, he is.
Great guy. And I think, but you know, from his perspective, he sees, you know, why do we have to have that presence? Unfortunately, we do. But I also think it could be a real positive thing because you get a chance to, and I'm going back to the being at the schools, you get a chance to interact with kids, you get a chance to build relationships, you get a chance to, hey, we're not the bad guys. We're here to protect, but we're also, hey, maybe you want to be a police officer.
And I think
you recruit.
I think that's a huge thing. I mean, I know just since I used to be in charge of the Frankfort schools, the high school, middle school,
right.
Getting SROs there. I'm working out at Rossville now on some days. But, I mean, Reese, Ramsey, Mitchell, they were juniors when I joined the football staff at Frankfort.
Yeah.
Jace Moore, same, a couple years older, but
no.
Noah DeBree just got hired. He's at the police academy right now. I mean, it's a huge recruiting tool, and just being involved. We have so many police officers that are SROs or coaches or volunteers. I know Detective Danner does a lot of stuff, Special Olympics, all that. It's just being seen and building those positive relationships with the youth and community.
Because it's more than just an SRO, and I love protect, enforce, and serve, and it's so much more. The enforce part is, you know, that's where we don't like sometimes because, but it's part of it. But it's that protect and serve we all like. But part of that enforce is that you got to be present and you got to be there. And look, I would much rather have presence and avoiding a situation than, oh boy. Oh, here's my window. I'm going to do something, and it's not even somebody's maybe plotting. And sometimes it's just it, like you were mentioning, the elevation of emotion that can change the dynamic of a moment like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and there we go. All right. Well, you guys are doing the Lord's work, as Carl said. Keep it up. We appreciate it. Anything else you want the good folks of Frankfort to know?
Yeah, I know.
I'm sure Chief Shoemaker would love for you to...
And I hope it doesn't light the phone lines up, but I want to talk about code enforcement.
Yeah.
We've added a third code enforcement part-time member to that division. We have a supervisor of that division now, Ed Russell. And not even a full year with all three of them last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers went up. Because,
okay.
Because I'd say of all the complaints we get on issues to deal with, it's code enforcement.
Yeah.
Because of blighted properties,
right.
Parking problems, you name it.
Right.
So their instance between the three of them last year was 1,560.
Wow.
That's mostly responding to complaints.
Yeah.
Mostly. Other than the proactive stuff like vehicles out of place, blighted properties and stuff that they see on their own while they're out.
Right.
Citations, 749.
Wow.
For the year. That's 100% increase of where we were.
Yeah.
Because of just the amount of complaints that we're getting and the amount of stuff. With that, they wrote 894 warnings. So that's telling me, you know, we're the goal is compliance.
Yeah.
We're going, you know, hey, here's a warning. We don't get the compliance. We've got to elevate it to a ticket to get progress. Towed 35 vehicles, cleaned up 8 properties, which involves the street department. had to mow 29 yards, and then the continuous abatements was 14, which means the yard has to be continuously mowed by the city, 14 okay. of those properties. So those are some of the numbers there. They're doing a great job. If anybody has any complaints, we have an online portal through the city. Please use that. It's the best way.
Don't call 911.
Well, they will follow up, right? They will follow up on that and put a note in on what they have or haven't done, because on the backside, I get a lot of complaints as they're not doing anything about this property. I called in a month ago. Well, they can track the progress of that on there.
Right. Awesome. Well, that's some good information to know. We greatly appreciate it. We greatly appreciate you guys. Thanks for coming in today. We pray for you every day. I pray for our leaders. Pray for the those that protect us, that you will be protected, and keep up the great work. We appreciate you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Tell Chief Shoemaker to keep his hair nice and beaded.
And that
extra scoop, maybe. Extra scoop.
That's the scoop of the juice.
That's right.
All right. Thanks, guys. Hey, we appreciate our police department, sheriff's department, all those, the street department, the parts department, everybody that makes it all work. Thank you very much. Legislative breakfast is this Saturday, 8 o'clock, Wesley Manor. We're going to Hoosierland TV it. So we just got that information. It's going to be streamed live on Hoosierland TV. That's Saturday morning, Wesley Manor. Brian Buchanan, Heath Van Atter, and Mark Ginda should all be there. That's this Saturday at Wesley Manor, 8 to 9 o'clock. It's our legislative breakfast opportunity for you to check things out, brought to you by the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce. Thank you very much. God bless. Have a great rest of your weekend. Good Lord willing, we'll talk to you next week. Stay safe and be courageous.